Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the fifth Sunday of Lent, 2009.
A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers the day I took them by the hand to lead them forth from the land of Egypt, for they broke my covenant, and I had to show myself their master, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer will they have need to teach their friends and relatives how to know the Lord. All, from least to greatest, shall know me, says the Lord. For I will forgive their evil doing and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Create a clean heart in me, O God.
Create a clean heart in me, O God.
Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness. In the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt, and of my sin cleanse me.
Create a clean heart in me, O God.
A clean heart create for me, O God, and a steadfast spirit renew within me. Cast me not out from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me.
Create a clean heart in me, O God.
Give me back the joy of your salvation, and a willing spirit sustain in me. I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall return to you.
Create a clean heart in me, O God. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. In the days when Christ Jesus was in the flesh, he offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and when he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me." I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd there heard it and said it was thunder, but others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this, indicating the kind of death he would die. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everyone.
And of course, we're here to discuss the readings we just heard. And Dawn, I know we were talking before the podcast. You said that you've got a retreat coming up. Could you just say what the theme of your retreat is in case somebody is listening that wants to go on the retreat? Oh, wait, no, I mean...
Yeah, anyone's welcome. we're taking the retreat from a song, a popular Christian music song right now by the artist Toby Mac. The theme of the song, well, it's repeated in the chorus, is "I don't want to lose my soul and gain the whole world." And so it's actually taken from a verse in Matthew, But it ties in perfectly with today's readings, in the gospel especially, when Jesus says, "Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life." And so in our retreat, we're talking a lot about priorities and what are our current priorities, examining how we sometimes leave God out of the mix, sometimes inadvertently, sometimes because we just don't want to have him in there because he might call us to something different. We're talking a little bit about idols, and you know, and also we'll be talking about service and listening for the voice of people that don't have a voice in the world and what God asks us to do about that.
Excellent. And also, just as a public service announcement, I guess, since I kind of threw that in there unexpectedly, the retreat is a youth retreat. So,
all right, yes.
But you're always looking for new adults to help volunteer.
Yeah,
so anybody who ever feels compelled that they want to help out with these youth retreats ever would always be welcome to contact Dawn over at St. Mary's.
Yeah, and I can say that although it's a teen retreat, our adults always leave change too. You think you're coming only to help, but God works his way somewhere in there during that time.
Yes, he does. He does. And I've done those with you, and they are great experiences, I think, for everybody, mm-hmm. both for the youth as well as for the leaders. And everyone has a good time and good food and gets worn out and goes home and sleeps for the rest of the day on Sunday.
And we're having Mrs. Valvano's cookies again, so you can't go wrong.
That's right. That's right. So there's, you can't complain about that.
Nah.
Anyway, one of the themes, though, that you mentioned there, I think, is one that we definitely need to draw on there, is that theme of giving up one's life. And of course, Jesus isn't meaning this necessarily, let's say, in a literal sense. He's not telling us to go out and all hate our own lives or anything like that. But it's that issue that you mentioned of priorities, and what are my priorities, and where's my focus in life? Is my focus on living a Christian life, or is it on, you know, living the life that this world espouses, that Christ is always talking about? And that's when he's talking about giving up your life. You often hear it when you talk amongst theological circles or something. People will talk about dying to self that. And the idea behind that is basically that I can't live just for me. And that's a very countercultural idea when you really think about it. We hear it a lot, but it really is countercultural, because our culture says, you know, do whatever makes you happy. You know, as long as you're happy, that's good. But that's kind of a view that says, I'm just looking out for me. I'm just finding my own happiness and not really concerned with other people, not concerned with how I'm called, mm-hmm. you know, my responsibilities, any of those kind of things. And so I think there's a sense when in the Christian scriptures that we talk about where we have to die to ourselves, we have to die to our selfishness, if you will, in order to live primarily for God and then for others before ourselves. There was a book, I can't remember the name of the author who wrote it. He was a Hall of Fame football player, and I think the title of it's called I Am Third. Mm. And the book is about him and his priorities in his life, and he said what he learned through his experience was that first in life comes God, then comes family and friends, and then I am third in priorities. And it's been a while since I read it, so unfortunately I can't give a great book review of it. But I would encourage people, if you think about it or something and see it somewhere, I'm sure probably a lot of the libraries have it because it was a popular book, probably now, gosh, probably 20 years ago, but I'm sure they're still in the libraries and things, or you could probably order it online somewhere. But I think that book has kind of that right idea that first comes God, second comes others, and then I am third. So once those other two are taken care of, then I should do that. And that's what Jesus is calling us to do when he says to die to yourself, or well, not to die to yourself, but he says whoever gives up their life will have eternal life. It's that don't focus on yourself here if you want that eternal life. Because if you do focus on yourself here, you're going to end up losing your life.
Okay, all I can think of is first comes love, then comes marriage. So it would work better if you could work that into a rhyme, but I like how that works. I like the point of that. That's very, it's easy to understand and to put into practice and to look in your own life and say, how do I put God first, or where do I put my family? I think For me, actually, because I'm a single person, I don't put a priority on family so much. I do all my work as God's top, and then work, 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 work. But I neglect my extended family and even the people around me, my work family. They come lower down the list, and that is easy to do.
Well, but I mean, my experience, Don. No, let me give you my experience here of what you do, because I would say the opposite for you. You tend to be somebody who I think does tend to put everybody else before yourself,
Yeah.
almost to the extreme. But where you take on all kinds of projects, we always tease Don for people who are listening who don't know that Don doesn't say no to any project that comes across her desk or anything. Anybody needs anything, Don's like, okay, and then she overworks herself. But I mean, I
Me?
think I know. But I mean, I think part of that is, I mean, you're right, not having any immediate family in that, you or
Right.
me even having, a spouse and children or something. But I think that the concept there is others and those who primarily, who we're closest to. But really, I mean, it should be, if I had one critique of the book, it should be just others in general, because even in our Christian lives, we learn that it's not just the people that we like that we want to be living for, but often it's the people we don't like. Christ tells us to love our enemies, which that's the hard thing to do. It's easy to love those who we
You
like.
got that right. For Lent, I gave up seeking other people's approval. I think God is trying to extra test me because it's just every time I turn around, I have some sort of conflict. And so I'm striving. I find myself thinking, oh, I have to make them like me. No, you gave that up for Lent.
But you don't want to make them hate you now. I
That's true. I think I'm handling that just fine.
But another thing that comes up in the second half of this gospel is where Christ makes the comment. He says, "I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour." I think that's another aspect of this whole dynamic we're talking about, is clearly even Christ himself doesn't say this is going to be an easy thing to do. To the point where he even finds it troubling himself, he comes, of course, to give his entire life for us and for our salvation, as we say in the Creed, amongst other places. And the one thing that is noted in that passage is it's not something that's easy to do, where he just says that. Ultimately, the way he thinks it through, though, he just says, "But what should I say then? That I'm just save me from this hour for which I came, or save me from this purpose for which I'm being called to live." But there are times I know, at least in my life, especially, I sit here and say, "Oh gosh, save me from all these things that go along with priesthood or something like that, from celibacy or something, But I think that that's part of what we have to recognize, is that God doesn't say it's going to be easy to do this. A lot of times it sounds very idealistic at first initially, and say, "Oh yeah, I want to go do that." And then you realize it's a lot harder to live for other people, because other people tend to be demanding.
The nerve.
That's right. And it also is not saying, obviously, to do it to an extent where you're not taking care of yourself too. He doesn't say, "Don't take care of yourself and your needs," or something like that. But you do need to keep that focus not primarily on yourself, but on other people, the generosity that we should have towards others.
I know you mentioned it before when we were discussing what we were going to talk about today, but I'm going to steal it from you and talk about today's responsorial psalm. It is definitely one
Oh,
of my
yes.
favorites, Psalm 51. And there's lots of different parts, but just the whole image. Oftentimes when I'm washing my hands, I think of this, create a clean heart for me and a steadfast spirit renew within me. And I think I must have heard a talk by somebody one time that said that same thing, because now it's great for me because it reminds me that I'm not alone on this journey, and that those anything tangible that I can do helps me to remember that. So the water rushing over my hands helps me to remember. But for me, this Lent, especially in the beginning of Lent, I was really struggling with some different things. And the end of the psalm, it must be verse 14, give me back the joy of your salvation and a willing spirit sustain in me. That was my constant prayer every day. And it's just such beautiful words. And I just really appreciate that.
Yeah, I have a love-hate relationship with that psalm, I said. It comes up in the prayers that priests and deacons are required to pray every day. Every Friday morning, we have to pray that psalm as part of the series of prayers. And I said, part of the reason I say I have that love-hate relationship with it is because I think it starts off reminding me that I am a sinner. And that's never a comfortable position. I said nobody wants to be reminded of that, but it is something that we need to recognize in our lives, of course, and the need for God's mercy, the needs for the sacraments. But it is always there's always an uncomfortability with having to say, "Yeah, I'm a sinner. Wash away my sins," and especially for us to have to say it every week. You know, every week you come back and you say that, you're like, "Yeah, I still need to say this again."
I haven't fixed myself yet.
And even there's a modified version of it that's said at Mass. Now, I don't know how many people would know this. Before the priest, I just learned this because I'm practicing for Mass practicums. And before a priest reads the gospel, there's a small prayer that he says, "Almighty God, cleanse my heart and my lips that I may worthily proclaim your gospel." But it's coming from that same idea, that idea I need to have my heart and my lips cleansed before I'm even worthy to begin to proclaim this. Or a lot of times too, if you've ever had a Mass where there's a deacon, you'll see the deacon goes and gets a blessing from the priest, and it's kind of that same blessing with it. It's got that same connotation to it. So there's this notion that even to speak God's words, we first have to ourselves be cleansed and pray for that cleansing. So I think that that's an important aspect. And like you said, for Lent, it's great because we do need that cleansing if we're truly going to live out our Christian lives. And part of our Christian lives is recognizing that we aren't perfect and we are going to need that.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Yes. And as I say that, we are at the end of our podcast. And actually, we probably went a little long this week. But hopefully people got something out of this and will join us next week. And maybe there'll be one or two people who will be willing to volunteer next time for one of your retreats or something like that, Dawn.
All right.
We'll see you next week on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.